Blog Talk Radio.
Morgan, I'm here with you on this wonderful radio station. This is Kingdom Builder Radio Broadcast. Amen. And this is Real Talk. We thank God for you, amen, tuning in with us. And we are asking you right now to tune in, glory to God, and hear what the Word of God has to say for you. Amen. And to you. Amen. Get a pencil and paper and call someone. Let someone know that you're on the air. I have a word for you today. Amen. Same word that we gave on Sunday. It was such a tremendous blessing. Until we want you to hear it now. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Word of God.
And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sorrow, we are in the heavenly cry, we carry the way of the Lord.
Amen. We thank God for you tuning in with us on today. This is, amen, Dr. Morgan, Ulysses Morgan, and we are glad that you have tuned in with us, and we are just delighted to have you, amen, on the air at this time. We want to give you an avenue to contact us, which is PO Box 492 in Cordial, Georgia. Amen. That's 31010 is the zip code. And you can also at this point, you can right now if you want to, you can call us, amen, at 347-996-3033. That's 347-996-3033. You can call in, glory to God, and ask questions, and we'd love to hear your comments if you are or listening, amen. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them. Glory to God. That number once again is 347-996-3033. Amen. And we're just glad to have you here. We have a word for you on today. The word that we have given on Sunday was a great word. It was a anointed word, and we just thank God for allowing, amen, us here at Genesis International to greet you with the Word of God. Amen. And we do it with the Holy Word of peace, and that peace be multiplied. We thank God for you. I want you right now, I want to pray before I get started into the Word of God, if you don't mind. Amen. And because I always believe in asking God's guidance over the Word of God. Amen. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to move in your life. Father, thank you right now for this radio broadcast, those that have prepared this broadcast and made it possible, oh God, that your word may be broadcast abroad. And we thank you right now for the listeners that are listening to it. And Holy Spirit, I know that you're going to touch right now with the word of God, and you're going to enlighten, encourage. You're going to build up, oh, that is God, tear down that is not God. And you're going to open doors for those who are listening right now. I thank you right now for them, and I give you glory and honor for this opportunity to be used by you. Because we must understand, Lord, we are servants of the Most High God, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to the book of Acts, and we're going to the 22nd chapter. We're going to talk about Paul, and I believe we're going to take up from where we left off from last time. But we're going to talk about Paul, and we're going to try to conclude it, because one of the things that I am a firm believer in is that if you're teaching something, and there are many times when even you're preaching something, that you can't get across what is actually needed at that time just in one message or one teaching. This is what's made the Bible so popular, because it is forever bringing out revelation. And we can read the same words over and over, but those words were so inspired until it fits every situation from generation to generation. And that's why I, in my particular classes or church, I try to exhaust it as much as the Holy Ghost would allow me, because there are people who are interested in it, and there are those who need the particular word at that time, and you don't have enough time in just one service or one teaching to give everything that is needed at that time. So we try to exhaust it as much as the Holy Spirit would allow us to, so that people can get a correct and correct understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, I'm going to read about Paul, and I'm going to bring out some pertinent information. So I'm glad that you are tuned in, and hopefully you have your pencil and paper. These are one of the things, even when I'm preaching, when I see people get a pencil and paper, they're interested in what's going on. They're interested in their future. They're interested in what God is getting ready to do in their lives. And they're jotting it down, not depending on memory. And normally when people come to church and you don't see pencil or paper in their hand, that means they're just coming for a thrill. They're coming for, inspiration. And inspiration only lasts for so long. You need to come for it. Healing or teaching, something that's going to carry you on into the future, right on into your destiny. Glory to God. And your notes that you can refer back to will do that. Can't rely on memory, glory to God. You have to rely on what your notes are. And as they always used to say, if it ain't wrote down, it didn't happen. So write it down and be able to go back to it. All right? Now, Acts 22nd chapter, I'm going to start reading. Let me just start at the first verse so we can get a very good synopsis of what's going on here with Paul, because last time we talked about Paul being converted and his conversion. And we talked about what Jesus did, to him on the road to Damascus. He was on a journey that was out of the will of God. He was on a journey to attack the will of God. And any time you are on a journey to attack the will of God, amen, you are attacking God himself. Jesus established the church on the day of Pentecost after Peter preached and 3,000 souls were added that began the church. They spread it abroad, preaching the gospel in various cities around and in Jerusalem. And the Sanhedrin, which is the high priest, the Pharisees, did not cater to the doctrine of what Jesus brought into existence. And the people began to pull away from them. And any time you got people about to leave your church, you always try to figure out a way how to keep them. And so Paul came, and Paul was a part of the high priest's beliefs and not a part of the church. And so we find out, and we read concerning how Paul requested the letters from the high priest or the authority on paper to persecute the church, showing it to the Roman Empire, which is where the church was under, the rule they were under, that they had authority to come in and arrest those who preached and taught in the name of Jesus, because he was determined to stop that belongs to God. You cannot stop what belongs to God. You must understand that. First lesson of the day, write it down. You cannot stop who belongs to God. Paul wanted to stop the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God that was established by Jesus. Now, the question that I may pose to you is, what kind of mind do you think people have when they try to stop something that Jesus orchestrated, that Jesus built? How are you going to pass something down that Jesus built? Are you that powerful? Or are you that ignorant? Are you that foolish? Amen. You cannot stop what belongs to God. If God be for them, who can be against them? How can you fight against what's God and win? How can you fight against the work of Jesus and win? You're just human. You're a human being. Your powers are limited. Glory to God. Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father with all power. And you as a human being are saying you're going to fight against Jesus. And when you are fighting against what Jesus has established, you are fighting against him. This is what he told Paul. Why do you persecute me? Paul had no idea he was persecuting the Jesus that he did, amen, the Lord that he did believe in, yet he didn't believe in the doctrine. And so what had to happen was, amen, it had to be stopped, and Jesus stopped them without the church even knowing what was about to happen to them. Many had been locked up, many had been killed, and I'm going to read it, and I think that I am going to start, glory to God, I said one, but let's start at the fourth verse of 22 chapter of Acts, and it says, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doeth hear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them with which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He was going to get them to be punished. Amen. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Amen. And why? And they that were with me indeed saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. Now, if you read 9 and the 9th verse, you will find that it says just the opposite, that they heard the voice and saw no man. But what Paul is saying here is that they heard the voice, glory to God, but they did not understand what was being said, because when Jesus is talking to you, amen, he's talking directly to you. No one else can discern what he's saying. He says, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And he said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Now watch this. And when he could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with him, I came unto Damascus. Now the Bible said Paul could not see. The light of the glory of the light blinded him, and he couldn't see. And the Bible says that he came to Damascus, okay, led by the men. If you would read on the 19th, you'll find it, but it says led by the men, okay? But I'm going to read on. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, behold, Paul, receive thy sight. And the same hour he looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers have chosen thee that thou shouldest know this will, his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Okay? Amen. I'm going to hold it right there. Well, let me see here, because I wanted to get, let's see, well, let me hold it right there, and then let me explain something to you. Paul was knocked off his knees, the road of the light blinded him. The men carried him to Damascus. Now, here's the key that I want everybody to understand here. Paul asked Jesus, what would you have me to do? He said unto him, go into Jerusalem. There's a man there that I've already ordained to tell you what to do. Okay? To tell you what to do. He shall lay hands on you, and you shall receive your sight. Chapter 9. You shall receive your sight. Now, the topic that I want to bring to you today is, glory to God, being in the right place at the right time. Now, obedience is better than sacrifice. Paul was instructed to go to Ananias' house, who the 9th chapter says he was a disciple, wasn't an apostle, wasn't a bishop, wasn't a prophet. Amen, and we always get caught up with these titles, but God sometimes will skip people with titles and use those that have a common name who's not caught up in titles. Glory to God. But when he told Paul to go to Ananias' house, amen, go to this man's house, he's a holy man, but he's not very popular, but he is my anointed person. Go there, and you shall receive thy sight. Now, the thing that I want to bring out is that Paul was given an instruction to go to a specific place. A specific place. Had not Paul obeyed the voice of Jesus and went to where he needed to go, he would not have received the miracle of sight that he lost. And this is something God is trying to tell us, and that is if we want to see, if we want a miracle, if we want the blessings, we have to follow the instructions and be in the place where God has called us to be. Amen. A lot of times, see, if Paul had went somewhere else, he never would have received the sight because it was already ordained for Ananias to lay hands on him. God had already instructed that Ananias was to lay hands on him and that he should receive his sight. Had he decided to go back to the high priest, he wouldn't have saw. Had he decided to go, amen, to Jericho, he wouldn't have seen anything. That's the same principle that we must apply to in the Old Testament when the servant told Naaman, amen, to go wash in the muddy Jordan to become clean. Naaman was a captain of the host, and Naaman was used to nice clothes. Amen. He had cologne on. He smelled good. He was always clean. He was always nice. He was always just. But now he's got to go, amen, and jump into a muddy river if he want this disease to leave. Had he went somewhere else, he would have died. Because sometimes God will tell you to go where you don't want to go. Amen. The enemy will make you want to go where you don't need to be, where your blessings are not, where your healing is not, where your deliverance is not, where your miracles are not, where your blessings are not. Amen. And you lose out. And now you're wondering why things are not happening, why you're wondering things are going on, because there's a specific place. Now, I know there's a difference between waiting on God and obeying God. Sometimes God will have you to wait. Amen. But you got to know when that time is. But most of the time, God will instruct you. He instructed Paul. And he says, go. Amen. And Paul had to be in the place because God told Ananias in the 9th chapter, if you will read that, he says to Ananias, he says in the 11th, verse, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Amen. He had to go to the house of the guy named that was Judas and wait for Ananias to get there. Had he went anywhere else, there are too many times that we disobey God and travel the long road and trying to receive a miracle, trying to receive a blessing, trying to receive a title, amen, and never receiving what God has for us because we have jumped track, so to speak. We went down the wrong road. You have to understand that. Glory to God. And I know to many people this may not be so popular, but I'm telling you, this is the truth, and this is what we need to understand. This is what we need to hear. This is what God is saying to us. Glory to God. We have to be where God wants to be. Now, after Jesus died, God told Peter and them to meet him in a certain place that they were not. He sent the women down to tell him to meet him in a certain place, and they finally went, and Jesus came in. We want Jesus to cater to us. We have to cater to him because he has what we want. We don't have what he wants. He has what we want. Glory to God. And he gave them specific instructions. Now, many of you know this because, amen, I'm talking to many of you right here now. Many of you know this. He told them, he said, look, here's what you do. He says, you take these people, you go into the upper room. It is a room that is upstairs. You go there, you wait until you be endowed with the power from on high. Amen. While I was with you, I taught you. I let you go out. But now I'm not with you, and you are not ready because now that I am gone, you have nothing in you to sustain you. You have nothing in you to guide you. You have nothing in you to teach you. So don't you make a move in ministry until you have power. How do you do that? Go into this room and go upstairs and you wait. And I don't care what the noise is outside. I don't care what they're doing. And I don't care how many leave. Glory to God. You stay there with whomever will stay with you and wait for the promise, amen, of the Father, which he will send you. Peter obeyed God and went into that room. Had he not went into that room, can you imagine what would have happened? Had he had been hard-headed, can you imagine what could happen? You can ask Judas, when you disobey, what happens? So he went into the room. He went into the right place. The Bible says, after a while, they were, well, let me back up. They were waiting in that room. Why were they waiting in that room? Because Jesus had to present himself before the Father as a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish to be accepted by the Father. And when the Father accepted Jesus, amen, as the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice for sin, then he released the Holy Spirit to come down. But he told the Holy Spirit, watch this, don't go all over Jerusalem. Don't go all, don't even go in the synagogue. Don't even go in the church. I want you to go in a house. I want you to go in somebody's house. I want you to go in that room where they are gathering because I have people there waiting on you, and that's where I want you to go. Amen. We think that Jesus or God only appears in the churches. Oh, no. So they waited. And the Bible says, suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they were. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. And as they were filled, they came out speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were men there, amen, that heard them speak in their tongues, knowing that they were not taught in their tongues, could not deny that it was the Holy Spirit, but yet they still tried to in saying they were drunk. And when they said that, now Peter, having something in him, okay, he denied Christ three times because he didn't have anything in him. Glory to God. He tried to rebuke Jesus because he didn't have anything in him. He was afraid to tell people he was with Jesus because he didn't have anything where? In him. Now that he has something in him, when they made accusations against the move of God, he stood up boldly and said, we are not drunk as you suppose, but this is what has been prophesied of old that is happening now. God is bringing it to pass. y'all must understand that God is getting ready to bring some things to pass in your life. I feel it with all that is within me, and I don't see you. I don't know where you are. I don't know your name. I don't even know whether you're male or female. I don't know. I just don't. But I feel this thing in my heart. Somebody that's listening, God is getting, I don't care if it's, this is a delayed tape. I don't care if I recorded it a week before, a month before. You're hearing it now, and it is a reason you're hearing it now. Glory to God, because God is had it to come to you at this time because you're in the right place to hear it. God is about to do something great in your life. God is about to use you in a mighty way. I believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Had not Peter been in that room when the Spirit came, had he been in the church at the altar trying to call on God, it wouldn't have worked. Had he been in somebody else's house, it wouldn't have worked. Amen. He had to be in the right place at the right time. This is what God is saying to many of you, glory to God, because he is getting, you listen, you're not hearing this accidentally or coincidentally. You are hearing this because it is being confirmed in your mind, in your spirit. I'm confirming some things. God wants you in the right place because he is getting ready to move on your behalf. Sometimes the right place ain't where everybody else is. Sometimes the right place ain't where everybody else wants you to be. Sometimes the right place, glory to God, ain't where everybody else, amen, seems to be having a good time. Glory to God. Abraham, leave kinfolk. Amen. Because I'm going to put you in a place and build you up where I want you to be. Glory to God. Glory to God. God, glory to God. So he says this, he says this, he says, had not Peter been in that room when the Holy Spirit came, my God, then God would have had to use someone else. Out of all that teaching, out of all that discipling, out of all that he did, had he not been where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there, he would not have been called to be the chief apostle of the Jews. Glory to God. So we have to understand these principles. Amen. We have to understand it. I'm going to give you one more if I can, and then we're going to move on because this is so prevalent to me. Elijah and Elisha was together. And time is not going to permit me to tell you exactly what happened, but to make a long story short, y'all know what I'm talking about. Elisha followed Elijah everywhere in order to get a double portion. When God took him up, Elisha was there watching it. He was in the right place at the right time. Your miracle is waiting on you. Whoever you are, your miracle is waiting on you. You might as well, amen, get ready for it, because your miracle is waiting on you, and it's waiting on you right now. Glory to God. Father, right now, touch whoever's listening to this. Give them directions. Give them understanding. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I thank you. Amen. My time is gone, and I thank you right now for tuning in to Kingdom Builders Radio Broadcast. This is Real Talk Radio Broadcast, and we give you God the glory and the honor for all that he is doing. Until our next broadcast, next Monday, 6:30 p.m., God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Here we go.
Yeah.